549th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN at UnderdogFantasy.com to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 549 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's dedicated to my co-host. I haven't dedicated one to him for a little while. Usually I do that when I'm desperate and I have no one else to dedicate it to. So this goes out to Gumby Vreeland, the man smiling proudly beside me. Mostly thanks to PFL. He had another good week with PFL. We will discuss that very, very shortly. But this goes out to Gumby because we definitely need him for the next three episodes at the very least, because we are covering some regional MMA. He dives deep into the regional MMA pool, knows about all these promotions. We're going to cover two different promotions that we haven't covered before coming up after this one. This one is LFA, one of the kingpins of the regional MMA space. So we got three regional episodes coming up for you Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then the UFC is back running again this coming weekend. So we got them Wednesday, Thursday, then we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming because the UFC does not usually take too many weeks off. So let's jump into all of it after we bring in the man I've spoken of so much. He should be blushing by now. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I'm not blushing too much because it was a good week, but it was not an all-time week.
It wasn't a perfect week. We expect perfection out of you.
Yeah, we had a perfect PFL episode 2 weeks ago. So yeah, this one, a little down from there. Over the two PFL episodes we did, which, by the way, for everybody who's watching on YouTube, and if you are watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, because when I tell you at the beginning of the episodes, most people listen. But like for all of you who watch that on YouTube, thank you so much. That was both the prelim and the main card episode became our number one and number two most listened to episode of all time, which is wild to me. So thank you guys for tuning into that stuff. And hopefully those of you who did tailed a couple of those bets, because we went 8-3, up about 2.5 units over that amount of time, which is pretty awesome. And the only big bummer was Bubba Jenkins, who decided he was a kickboxer. And right after I said there were silly odds on him, and I stand by that. Like, I think if he wrestles, those odds are silly. And then for some reason, he was like a kickboxer who gasses out fast, which is...
I love when wrestlers decide they're kickboxers. That's the greatest.
Dude, bizarre. I didn't know what to do with that. So that was pretty wild. And then when I was watching Octagon the next day, Amari Dietrich, who is a phenomenal kickboxer, started the fight by trying to wrestle. And I was like, this is not going to be a reverse...
bizarro world.
A bizarro Bubba. But And then luckily he turned it around and started kickboxing and knocked the guy out pretty quickly. We went 8-3 in PFL, up 2.5 units. On both the other promotions we did, Octagon and what did we do? Octagon and Cage Warriors. We went 3-2 in both of those, I believe. Yeah, 3-2 in both of those, and down about a half a unit in both of those. So on the weekend, we wound up about 1.5 units, which is brings us to plus 15 on the year for regional MMA, which is always the goal. Onward and upward.
Fantastic. That's what we like to hear. So because we got some more MMA coming up, regional MMA coming up right now. Of course, Gumby, when you got three wrong? I forgot. Well, we did both. We did two episodes. So yeah, we did the full fight card. And of course, someone has to comment on the one that
I got wrong.
That's hey, that's how the what? World works.
To be fair, I'm gonna credit that person. It is okay to pick out when it's the one that I said I was the most confident in. Because I did bag a couple of really nice underdogs, right? Like, I felt good about Tyler Diamond. He picked up a win as an underdog. I felt good about Musafayev, who absolutely bludgeoned Logan Storley in a violent way. Like, those are nice underdog hits. And of course, you're not going to point out those two because they're, I was like, there's good value on them, but I was all in on Bubba Jenkins. So please feel free to nitpick and make fun of my Bubba Jenkins pick.
But just remember, you're not coaching him. You're not telling him how to fight. So
like, yeah, I mean, like if he fought like he did every other fight of his career, he wins. Instead, he loses 2-1. So it is what
MMA
it is.
MMA is strange like that. You don't see this in other sports.
No.
Like, you don't see, like, I'm trying to think of a
good Randy Johnson to... deciding to be a knuckleball pitcher for yeah, one exactly. game. Like, yeah. one game, he's like, you know, what if I throw knuckleballs?
Yeah,
exactly. It's just, yeah, it's, nobody decides to be something different than they are except for in MMA.
Yes, especially after you pick the person. Yep. And tell everyone else to pick the person.
Correct. That's the perfect timing.
Especially then. Speaking of perfect times, this is a perfect segue for the perfect time to get into the SGPN Hockey Gambling Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you listen to it. I listen to every episode. I don't even gamble on hockey, yet I listen to it. I'd barely even watch hockey because it's so entertaining. It helps that they mention me often, sometimes negatively, often negatively, but nonetheless, it's always a fun listen. And the puck drops in the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend. Actually, it already has dropped, ladies and gentlemen. And the local team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, have already lost a game to the Boston Bruins. As per usual, every spring this happens, Leaf fans get their hopes up, and then the Bruins crush them. So I jumped off the Leaf bandwagon decades ago, luckily. So anyhow, playoffs are on, and of course our boys at the Hockey Gambling Podcast have you covered. Talon, Ryan, and Joel, aka Birdman, Giraffe, and I don't really have a nickname for Joel, just the cool dude from Vancouver, are breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games. They already did that, and now they're going to keep your picks and the laughs coming all postseason long. So we got a Leaf fan, a Flyers fan, they're out of the playoffs, and a Avalanche fan. He also likes the Canucks. So we have some teams in the running with the host still. So it should be fun listening. Make sure you subscribe to Hockey Gambling Podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, they hype our podcast pretty much every episode, even though they're not even asked to. So at the very least, I can do is tell you to listen to them, and prepare to be offended often, especially if your name's Jeff. All right. LFA 182, Gumby, how about it?
I'm here for it. I'm not going to be negative about it, but their cards in Sioux Falls tend to be a little bit more lackluster than their ones in, like, you know, they got Brazil coming next week. Their Brazilian cards are the best ones. So
we'll be covering it. Don't worry.
We'll be covering that in Octagon next week, I'm sure. Very, very exciting fight cards in Brazil. And so, like, it's a little bit worse than those, but there are a couple of, like, fun-ish prospects on there, and we're gonna do our lightning round at the end, which has got a lot of fun to it too.
That's what I was gonna check on. All right, perfect. So let's give you the deets on this here event. LFA 182, McKee versus Hernandez. So Fluffy Hernandez and AJ McKee, right? Is that who?
Negative.
Okay. Anyhow, it's two other dudes. Let's take a drink. All right. It's going down this Friday, which is good. We like it when they spread these things out, different days in the UFC Saturday. So this is this Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, UFC Fight Pass. That's another positive. Octagon's a little bit harder because they're not on Fight Pass. I wish Octagon would just get to Fight Pass. But anyhow, LFA is going down Sanford, Pentagon, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, United States of America. I have not been in South Dakota. I don't think Gumby has either. I think we've discussed this before.
Nope.
No Dakotas, not even North.
Nope.
Same with me. All right. It's in a cage, which is disappointing, but we'll take it. 13 fights. Gumby has hand curated the five fights that he wants to break down in detail. And then we will do lightning round at the end where he will bang out some rapid fire picks and a brief synopsis, a Twitter length synopsis back when Twitter was 140 characters. So let's start a fight. Let's start off with a fight that you probably are have a fighter in it that you recognize the name of. That would be Darian Caldwell. He's fighting against Tarcisio Romano, or is it Romano? Probably Romano, no, right?
Romano.
Is it Romano? He's from Brazil, though. It should be Romano. It sounds so much funnier, too.
I mean, you do what you need to do.
you do what you got to do. Anyhow, 3 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. All right. No odds yet for this here fight card. So Gumby will give you a good guesstimate of where he thinks the odds are. And if he winds up being way off, then you can adjust accordingly. Sometimes you can get good value when Gumby is way off. And obviously we'll be in the Discord discussing the odds once they do come out. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. So we'll talk with talk about Romano first. 11-5-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. This is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 out of 5. 2014 pro MMA debut, so he's been around for a decade. 5 years younger than Caldwell. Caldwell, the Wolf, 14-7, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. This is his LFA debut as well. He's gone 0-4 over his last 4, 2-4 over his last 6, 2-6 over his last 8. Not so hot. The trajectory is he's kind of doing it backwards. He's already fought in Bellator where he went 11-6 with 1 no contest. And now he's back on the indie scene after this skid that he's currently on. He's not fought since February 2023. He's not won since June of 2020. So that's quite a skid going on here. 11-6-1 in Bellator, as I said. Used to fight at featherweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 inches taller than Romano. Break her down.
He was a Bellator champ too, right? I'm not mistaken about that.
No, he fought maybe interim, I think.
I think he was, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just interim, but I'm almost positive he had a belt. So first of all, Darren Caldwell is going to come in as a -400, -450 favorite here, just based on that fact alone. The fact that he fought the top of the top in Bellator, I'm almost positive he was a champion, if my memory serves me correctly. I mean, he fought Kyoji Horiguchi a couple of times. Like, why would he not be a -450 favorite?
He was not the champion. He lost 2 title fights to Horiguchi.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Hold the phone. Yeah, Leonardo Higo he beat for the belt. No, Dantas he beat for the belt, and then defended against Higo. Of course, Gumby's right, everybody.
Of course,
so yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He had it for a little bit there.
So my memory serves me correct.
2 years almost.
Yep. Yeah. So he was a champ in Bellator. Automatically makes him -450, -500 favorite here on the regional scene. I would say he's clearly lost a step. Right? Is the problem with being a guy who's now lost 4 in a row after being a champion, and it wasn't against necessarily Bellator's like top flight competition, is like clearly he's a little bit slower. His wrestling's a little bit worse. His positional work on the ground is a little bit riskier, and as a result, also a little bit worse. And luckily, I think they're running him against an opponent that I think it just doesn't matter on. Because Romano is the type of guy who just kind of stands in front of people and is there. I don't think his striking is fast enough to actually manipulate Caldwell. And to be honest, I think he's the way he overexerts himself with strikes that are a little bit slow anyway, but like he still like reaches with them too much. I think he's going to be off balance enough for Caldwell to get his ground game going. And you mentioned that Romano has been subbed twice. He's also been knocked out twice, but one of those knockouts is a TKO with ground and pound. So that means like he's getting beat on the ground, which is where Caldwell was his best when he was in his prime. Again, I think he's lost a step, but I don't think that this is the opponent that can exploit it. So give me Caldwell here. Am I running out to get a ticket on him at -450? Hell no. Like, you know, he's on a 4-fight losing streak. And to your point, he went from being Bellator champ to one of the opening fights on an LFA main card. Like, obviously that's not the guy who you want your hat in the ring on. But I think he's got all the skills to win this fight. I don't think there's a danger really of Romano upsetting him.
Yeah. So you're saying you will not put him on your underdog fantasy ballot. Underdog actually doesn't do, I don't think they do LFA, but
they don't do LFA.
Everything else.
But if they did, I'd probably take Darren Caldwell over on his takedowns.
How about higher?
Yeah, higher on his takedowns. Higher on his takedowns.
Because I'm telling you about Underdog Fantasy, if you haven't guessed already. Ladies and gentlemen, the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower, like I corrected Gumby on player stats, like points, rebounds, assists, so much more. Takedowns, as Gumby said, if you're playing UFC, they do have UFC on there. Make entries of all basketball, or you can mix sports. You can just like mix martial arts, mixes the martial arts, you can mix your sports up. And you can match them across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Apparently, we're a state. So get in there, underdogfantasy.com. Like I said, the easy to play, they have every sport, so check it out. And there's a pick'em special for actually, there was a pick'em special for the past playing game. They always have pick'em specials there. They also have like ones with like hot tamales beside them that pay off even more. So check all that stuff out. And make sure you sign up with our code. That's the important thing, MMA SGPN. and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog at Fantasy, promo code MMASGPN. Got to update the ad reads on the fly, Gumby. That's how professional I am.
I like how you did it.
All right, we're going another name I'm familiar with, Cedric Gunnison. We've talked about him before. He's in a lightweight fight against Nikita Kulshin. So Russia versus United States. We had U.S. versus Brazil in our first fight. All right, we're going to tell you about Gunnison first, the gunman. 7-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. This is his LFA debut. He's got 5-1, including winning his last fight. Was regional champion. He's fight at welterweight, 3 inches taller than Kulshin. I don't have too much info on Kulshin. Hopefully Gumby can fill in the blanks here. He's 5-0, 1 knockout, 1 submission, 2-0 in LFA, 6 years younger than Gunnison. So early in his MMA career, but maybe there's more here that Gumby knows about.
Yeah, well, so I watched a little bit of film on him because I too was not very familiar with him, which makes me think, so two things when you're thinking about the odds of this fight. Out the gate, you're right, Gunnison is a noticeable name around the regional scene. Like, if you pay attention to the regional scene, you know who he is. So I immediately was like, he'll probably be a favorite, but then you see the Russian name on the other side, which usually bumps it up a little bit. So I'm guessing Kulshin comes in here as a slight underdog, like plus 115, plus 120, and you're going to get, you know, like negative 140 on the other side for Gunnison, negative 145. So for Kulshin, as far as his style goes, you know, with a lot of those Russian fighters, you're thinking to yourself, oh, they must be a phenomenal grappler. I think his wrestling is good, but I will tell you, like, couple of things I've noticed when he's shooting takedowns. Sometimes it seems like there's just a little bit too much space in between him and in the fighter he's trying to take down. He doesn't get as close to the hips as I really want him to. He finishes a lot of these takedowns on the regional scene, but like, I don't know how sustainable that is, particularly against a guy like Cedric Gunnison. Now, Gunnison likes to wrestle a little bit too, but I think Kulshin's defense is better than his offense is from the technical standpoint. I think we're going to wind up seeing pretty much a push when it comes to the wrestling in this fight and wind up seeing these two duke it out on the feet. Gunnison is a touch better when it comes to striking, but I'm actually going to go with Kulshin here because I like the way he's one of those guys who comes forward and blitzes with lots of energy. And I think between that and the wrestling, I think he's going to make Gunnison work more. And I also just think there's a better chance that Kulshin hits him with something that he's not ready for. Because Gunnison is not necessarily like a big sniper when it comes to counter striking. And Kulshin is either on top of you with 7 strikes or so far away from you that you're basically not striking with him. So I think that that's going to be a problem for Gunnison. And also just like in general, I think if they wind up smashed against the cage for a while and somebody wins based on positional, I think that's probably Kulshin too, even if he's not finishing these takedowns. So I'm going to ever so slightly edge with Kulshin. And if you can get him at dog price, he's probably worth it there.
All right. Were you thinking you said a plus 120?
Yeah. And he probably, I mean, he might open higher than that. And then the people who come in and just bet on Russian dudes, no matter what, will ruin that line for you.
The Moonoffs of the world.
The Moonoffs
stuff.
Man. Although his doesn't end in EV, AV, or OV. So
yeah, that's true.
Who knows?
All right. So hopefully we got at least one dog for you with that pick there. Let's move on up, shall we? Harris Talunzic. Talunzic. He's from Bosnia and Herzegovina. And he is fighting in a welterweight fight against Keith Dawson. Keith with a Y. How odd is that going to be? Some parents, right? All right. He is the sleeper, Mr. Dawson. 4-5. 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone, and he's been finished in all of his losses. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. You know what that means, Gumby?
He owes us rounds.
Damn it. We've done that. We haven't done that for a bit. Dawson, that's a callback for you old school listeners. Dawson's 1-3 over his last 4, 2-4 over his last 6. So the farther back you go, it doesn't get much better. Got knocked out in his last fight, 0-1 in LFA, has fought professionally in kickboxing. Talunzic, the Bosnian silverback. Do they have silverbacks in Bosnia? I'm guessing they don't.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, he lives in Colorado now.
Do they have, I don't think they have silverbacks in Colorado either. At least not roaming in the wild.
Maybe a Bigfoot.
Yes, true. It's true. That would be prime Bigfoot area. All right. This Bosnian silverback is 6-2 with 3 submissions. So who knew that gorillas knew or silverbacks knew how to do jiu-jitsu? He's been knocked out once, lost win loss over his last 3. He got TKO'd in his last fight. 5-2 in LFA, so at least he's fought at a high level. 3 years younger than Dawson, 2 inches taller, and that's all I got.
Yeah, I think this is a fight to get Talonzik back on track. He got knocked out by Daniel Ferunza with like 1 second to go in the third round the last time they fought. I don't think he was winning the fight anyway, but like it was pretty brutal on top of that. But I think this is a fight to get him back on track. Dawson 4-5. I don't know if this was like they couldn't find him an opponent and he just like needed a fight, or it's like, you know, just unabashedly we need him back on track. Because I went and watched Dawson just to be like, am I missing something? Is this guy far better than his record is? And he's not really. He winds up. you were waiting for me to say, and he is, but no,
and he is. Nope.
No. He's as bad as his record says. he winds up big on his shots is my big issue, and you can like so you can see him coming. Defensively, he's abysmal. That's, you know, if I was going to be honest, like offensively, yeah, he telegraphs his shots a little bit, and there's like a little bit of wrestling there, but not much. Defensively, it's just really bad. His chin is open to be hit. His hands never come back to his face. Talonzik, not a guy who like presses forward with like crazy energy and is like really looking for that knockout, but he's sharp. You know, he's got like a really nice jab. He throws the kick to multiple different levels. You know, I like a lot of his striking stuff. I think his wrestling's pretty solid too. I think if there was somebody who is spectacular in one of those avenues, like, you know, like Ferunza with his power, there's reason to pick against Talonzik, who isn't particularly special in any one area, but against the guy who's this weak, I think you go Talonzik. He'll probably be -750. Because again, he's a recognizable name, a guy who's been in main events, and he's going to be fighting a guy who's 4-5.
All right, there you go. Not as fun as picking underdogs, but hey, he's got to tell you who he thinks is going to win. That is his job. We're up to the co-main event already. How do you say this name? Kasian? Is it as simple as that?
Kasian
Shakayev. He's from Russia, if you haven't guessed by my butchering of the name, versus Michelle Lima from Brazil. 3 5-minute rounds, and this is at 140 pounds. That famed weight class, 140 pounds. Lima, Panico is the nickname. Do you know what Panico means?
Panico.
Take a crazy guess. It's panic with an O at the end of it.
Oh, it's panic.
It is. You're right. He's 18. I'm assuming his opponents panic, because that you panicking while you're in a cage probably isn't a good thing. So anyhow, Panico is 18-5, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. This is his LFA debut. 1-2 over his last 3, 2-3 over his last 5. Did win his last fight, though. That was back in April of 2023. He's fought at bantamweight and at featherweight. So this is right in the middle now, like it said. The fabled 140-pound weight class. Was a regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut, an inch of height over Shakayev. That's even better. Say it like Borat. He is 6-1 with 3 submissions. This is his LFA debut as well. He lost his last fight. That was back in November of 2021. What's he been doing since then, Gumby? I'm sure you're right on top of this.
No idea.
He hasn't been fighting professionally in MMA. Has not won since April of 2021. Used to fight just like his opponent, featherweight and bantamweight. So they're fighting right in the middle for some reason. 5 years younger than Lima. Actually, I think this may be, is this one a short notice? No, this one was canceled at one point and then it's back on. So I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
So first of all, I think if you're looking at this fight from the odds perspective, I think Shikaev is going to be a slight favorite. I'm guessing because first of all, Lima's record, not particularly great, right? Like obviously there are lots of fights on it, but it doesn't look sterling. And the, you know, again, I always said, if you got a Russian name, that line gets gassed up pretty quick. I think you're going to see Shakayev at like -200 probably. I'm going to be upfront. I'm going to take him in this fight, but I'm going to say if that line is correct, and I did guess this one right, don't play that line. Because I like Shakayev. I think he's going to win this fight because I love his footwork. I love the way that he moves forward, particularly in how he backs his opponents up against the cage. I think he's a little bit faster on the striking. I do think that this fight largely takes place on the feet. Again, despite having a Russian name, not particularly interested in taking it to the ground all that often. And I think Lima backs up too much, which is why I like Shakayev in this fight, is I think Lima is too easily falls into what he wants to do anyway. However, the one factor that makes me like not like him if he does get into the negative 200s here is that Lima has a really deadly counterpunch. Like when he throws the counter left and he lands with it, man, is it effective. Like he has got some like sneaky power. And Shekhaev is a guy who, when he backs you up against the cage, feels comfortable just like basically emptying out his whole toolbox on you at that moment. So for me, I do think he's going to win this fight. I'm leaning towards him. If he's negative 130, negative 140, negative 150, sure, love it. It starts getting up in those twos, like I think sometimes Russian names do. I say stay away from it because you're gonna get your heart broken or a parlay broken with a Michel Lima counterpunch. So I'll take Shekhaev with caution or a low number.
Russian names has to be the name of this episode, Gumby. That's what it's all about. I mean, right? Like Russian names.
What else would you expect from a regional MMA card in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
Of course, full of I know they're really leaning into Brazil. Obviously, the
Brazilian card's like, loaded with Brazilian dudes.
Half of their events basically are in Brazil, but yeah, a lot of Russians too, which is cool. All right. It's cool because we want to see the best fighters from around the world fighting, regardless of where they're from. All right, let's go to the main event time. Not for a belt. Gumby will let us know whether or not this is a worthy main event or not. It's 3 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. Mitchell McKee, United States. That's a very United States name. Versus Jose Hernandez, also a United States name. 3 5-minute rounds. Bantamweight. Tell you about Hernandez first. Nano is the nickname. He's 4-1 with 1 no contest. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 with 1 no contest over his last three. He did win his last fight. 0-1 in LFA, though. Was regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. 0-0-1 as a pro boxer. 2 inches of height over McKee. Merciless McKee. Merciless Mitchell McKee. That's a great name. 5-0 with 4 knockouts. 4 of those fights have been in LFA. The other one in Bellator. So pretty good experience for this gentleman. 3 years younger than Hernandez. Is Mitchell McKee good?
Yeah, I think so. I actually think Jose Hernandez is really good too. When you're looking at this fight, I think McKee probably just based on the record and the fact that he's fought more in LFA, you said, if I'm remembering
correctly. 4 times, yeah.
Yeah. So he's fought more in LFA. I think he comes out the favorite here. Probably not by a ton though. Like, you know, we're talking negative 155 or something like that. And I like McKee a lot in this fight because, you know, as I said, I like Jose Hernandez. His takedown defense is really good, which you're going to need against a guy like Mitchell McKee, who is like a relentless wrestler. Like when he gets you up against the cage, he's going to go single, double, and chain him back and forth until he gets you where he wants you. Hernandez has shown in his last couple of fights that he has the ability to stuff those takedowns. Here's the only problem with that. After he's stuffed those takedowns for 5 minutes, he's done. He's gassed. His last fight, it was a perfect example of that. Like he came out in the second round and his strikes had like 1/8 of the power they had on him in the first round. And Mitchell McKee, his motor is incredible. He's just got an absolute gas tank that it seems to never empty. So he's going to come with that relentless wrestling in the first round. He's probably going to come with it in the second round. And you're going to see a different version of Jose Hernandez in the second round. The other thing I'll just add in here too, is Mitchell McKee has got a mean overhand, right? He's knocked a few people out with it, but even in his last fight, which went to decision, he stumbled and dropped his opponent with that same overhand. So like it is a deadly strike. And it would not surprise me to see McKee go wrestle heavy in the first round, tire Hernandez completely out. And then that overhand right ends it in the second. So yeah, I like Mitchell McKee here. If you can get him, you know, anywhere in the ones for me, I really like anywhere in the twos, maybe, or early twos, maybe that's a parlay piece. But I like him to win this fight no matter what.
And the official line you think is going to be about minus 200?
I said negative 155 originally. Okay. I think Hernandez's good record combined with, like, you know, he's fought some decent opponents too. I think could keep this a little bit closer than some of the other fights.
All right. Let's recap. You got McKee. You got Shekhaev. I forgot already
how Shekhaev. You said it.
Shekhaev, which could be wrong for all I know.
I don't even know if it's right.
Yeah, Panik. No, he doesn't have Panik. I just want to say that. He's got Tulunzik. He's got Kulshin. He's got Caldwell. Correct?
That's correct.
All right. That is that. But we have more picks, ladies, or at least more breakdowns. We have 13 fights on this card overall. We gave you full breakdowns on 5 of them. lightning round time. We need some graphics and we need like thunder sound effects and stuff. But go ahead with your lightning picks.
So first of all, I got three for you. If these odds come in playable on any of the following three fighters, hit them up. I don't think they'll come in playable. Like all of them will probably come in negative 700, 800, you know, but like if any of them come in with a number you're comfortable playing on a money line, and any of these three are good. The first one being Cheyenne Bowers is on the prelims. She's fighting a tall grappler. She is, you know, like absolutely incredibly strong for a flyweight. And I think she's just going to absolutely manhandle her opponent. You got Michael Blockus, who was a wrestler, a flyweight, featherweight wrestler at University of Minnesota. His wrestling is really good. He's one of those prospects that LFA has kind of got circled, and I think you're just going to see him roll really easily in this fight. The other one is Maya, which if you look at Maya, his name, it's spelled with commas. It's M, A, Y-A-H.
Oh, you should have made me say that name. That would have been fun.
Yeah, there's commas in his name.
Wait a minute. Well, yeah, that's weird.
And all I right, know that
on your show.
I know that it's on purpose too, because on Instagram his name is Commas MMA, which is fantastic. But he's as far as like middleweight prospects go, he's about as good as they come. Like really quick hands, like good wrestling, you know, super fast, super athletic. So at like only 2-0. Clearly he's the one to keep an eye on. So if any of those three people come in with like decent odds, play them. And then the other one I'll throw out there that I think is actually going to be a big dog is Katarina Legaretta. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Katarina Legaretta, she's going to be fighting, Kendra McIntyre, who is coming off of being on Invicta. And I think the Invicta fighter usually comes in as the favorite. So I think you'll see Legaretta come in as a pretty sizable dog. And let me tell you something. I really like her pressure up against the cage. She comes from a kickboxing background. And when she starts landing, she just doesn't stop landing until her opponent drops. It's very entertaining. And also, like, she has the ability to just, like, pressure you and hold you against the cage and throw knees to the midsection until she's ready to back away and light you up again. So I really like Legaretta. So if she comes in, like I said, I think she'll be a dog. She's a fun dog to play. And any of those three others, if they show up, you know, with a respectable, meaningful line, hit them up too.
There you go. What happened to Invicta, by the way? It's been a long time.
Yeah, they run in shows a little bit less frequently. It kind of bums me out.
Yeah. It used to be monthly, and then it became like seasonally, it seemed like once every quarter or whatever. And now it seems like it's been forever, which sucks.
Yeah. When was that Danny McCormick fight? Man. Was that Danny McCormick fight was in like January or something, and I think that was the last card they had. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's been a minute.
We need content, damn it. Anyhow, don't worry, we got you covered tomorrow too. We're gonna cover more. I know I was gonna ask you one last thing about LFA. Who are we gonna see in the UFC? Get out your crystal ball down the road. It could be, you know, within this year, it could be, you know, years from now. Do you see any future UFC fighters fighting on this card?
Mitchell McKee. If Tolonzic, I mean, he's going to come out of this fight fine. If he managed to piece a couple more together, I could see him getting a shot on Contender Series down the line. Kolchin, I think it's kind of too early to tell, because the reason I think he's going to beat Gunnison is actually because he's less technical and that might work. So if Gunnison comes through on that, his record is pretty much already set in him close to Contender Series 2. So I would say McKee, I definitely think so. And then Tolunzic and Gunnison are kind of getting close, even though I didn't pick Gunnison on this card.
All right, cool. Where did Gunnison fight before? We talked about him before.
CFFC, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it okay?
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly.
All right, cool. I remembered the name. All right, that is it for us, but we'll be back every day this week, except for what, Friday? We'll take Friday off. We'll take Saturday off too. Okay. So we'll be back with some more regional MMA. And then we got the UFC. We'll take a peek at the UFC very, very soon as well. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord. We're always in the Discord, even though people were talking some weird sport in there last night that with names I hadn't heard of before.
But, boxing.
Garcia and boxing. Gross. You can't even kick. And yeah, if you want to talk boxing, that's fine. Boxing, it doesn't happen often enough that people don't get too excited about it in the Discord, but talk about whatever you want in the Discord. Get in there at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Where else can you get us? You can get us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. You can get him at Gumby Vreeland and me at Jeff Fox Writer there, and on Instagram. You can get my moneymma.substack.com. Check that out. Get in my weekly UFC pick'em contest there. If there's anything you'd like to see me cover on there, by all means, reach out and let me know, especially if you're one of my patrons, which I greatly appreciate. By all means, give me ideas and I shall cover it if I can. Gumby's got another podcast called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast. Make sure you listen to that. He has very good interviews on there, and you don't have to listen to me droning on, which is important. What else should you do? You should get all of our content is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All of our gear is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And then you can help us out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So you can help us crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow. As I said, it'll be Merciless, Jeff Fox, and it'll be Russian names, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then.